Amen.
Amen.
Who do you think you are? Well, this is Matthew Pinsent, and he went on that telly program. He's an Olympic rower, and discovered that he was descended from King Edward I. It's a telly program where they look at their genealogy and they dig into all the records. Well, I think that's pretty cool to be descended from a king many years ago. What about us? What about us? Who do we think we are? Well, today we're in for a bigger surprise than Matthew Pinsent got on that programme. Where are we in 1 Peter chapter 2? Well, we've just been told to be holy. That was in chapter 1, verse 15. Peter writing to believers. And at the time he's writing to the area which we call Turkey today. And it's a time when for them, it was pretty tough to be a Christian. Not out and out persecution, but rising difficulties. And they would find themselves sort of cut off from all the big things in life, perhaps, for being a Christian. Be holy, he said. Two little words, big challenge. Holy, set apart, special, pure for God. And so are you someone who's come to Christ? Peter says, well, look, get rid of sin. So for us, it's the same call. Get rid of sin. Lust. Something maybe that is on the internet, but it breeds lust in you. Greed, you see all these things that people have. We want that, we want the other. Envy, for a house, a car, a job, a spouse. Are we mean? Do we like to make other people's lives misery? All these things, stop it, says Peter. Stop it. Be holy. And we might be thinking, well, it's quite hard to be holy. It's not an easy thing to do, and in my life, though I try, it's not easy. I fail sometimes. I fail again and again, again and again. And anyway, why do I have to be so different as a believer? It's difficult. My friends aren't that different. They call themselves Christian, maybe. Does it really matter? Maybe someone's listening in who's not a Christian yet, investigating what it means to be a Christian, and this call to be different and this call to change might be something that would put them off. Did it put you off? Already, Peter's given us some really good reasons to be holy. So we've got a Heavenly Father who judges back there in chapter 1, verse 17. So we're going to be called to account for our lives. There's the precious blood of Jesus that redeemed us. That's in chapter 1, verse 19. He died for us to get rid of all that stuff and bring us forgiveness. And not only that, there's also our love for our brothers and sisters, which comes from coming to Christ. And we all come to Christ, so we love each other. Another reason to be holy amongst each other as we live lives with each other. So already we've had some great reasons to be holy. And today he wants to give us even more. He wants to say today, why be different? Well, because of what Jesus has done for you. If you trust in Jesus, then you are very, very different. He's made you very, very different. Jesus is your precious foundation. You're in God's royal family, says Peter. So be who you are. And in the passage, we're looking at verses 4 to 10. The way the passage works is that these points, Jesus is your precious foundation and you're in God's royal family, they're made right at the start in verses 4 and 5. And then verses 6 to 8 expand on Jesus as our precious foundation. And verses 9 and 10 expand on us as God's royal family. So it's a wonderful passage giving us motivation to be holy. And here's the first motivation. Sorry, there's the breakdown of the passage. The first motivation, Jesus is your precious foundation. Jesus is your and my precious foundation. When it comes to Jesus and we receive by faith what he's done, so it's all by him. The forgiveness we have, that's because he died on the cross for us. The new life we've got, that's because he's risen from the dead. The hope we've got, that's because Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth and is going to return and bring his new creation. All of it's from him. When we receive all that, he's a solid and sure foundation that will never never let us down. Never. A precious foundation, one that we value enormously. Here, Peter calls him a living stone. He says, verse 4, as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You can't forget Peter, can you? Because Peter had his name changed by Jesus. Do you remember that from the Gospels? He's Simon. And Jesus says, I'm going to call you Peter, which means rock. And Peter says, is he's saying, no, not me. Jesus is the rock. He's the living stone, not me. And Peter tells us where he gets the idea from. So verse 6, for in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So this is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. At the time Isaiah's writing, God's people have rebelled against God, and they thought they could survive without him. But God is saying, do you know what? There's only one way you're going to survive, and that's if you trust in my Messiah. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And he's a chosen and precious cornerstone. And this is looking ahead to the Lord Jesus for us today, as in Peter's time. Now, what's a cornerstone? Well, a cornerstone is that solid bit of a building that you build from. I don't know if you've ever played Jenga. There's a picture of Jenga. A game with wooden blocks, and you take bits out bit by bit. Eventually it falls down. But have you ever tried playing it on a wobbly table? It's bananas, you know. Or with kids around who love to sort of bump into things. You just can't do it. It just falls over all the time. It's not a solid foundation. And everything else in life is like that. Everything else. All these things they trusted in Isaiah's day, and the things we might be tempted to trust in. But Jesus is a solid table to build on. A solid block in this case. A great big block of stone that you lay and you build from. I lay in a stone in Zion, says God. Zion is the name for Jerusalem. And back in Isaiah's day, that would have been the physical Jerusalem. But he's looking forward to the heavenly Jerusalem, where all God's people live. A chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So this is Jesus, says Peter, the living stone, because Jesus is alive and he's this cornerstone. And look how special Peter thinks he is. He can't stop saying it, can he? Precious, 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 he says, about this living stone. It's there in verse 4, chosen by God and precious to him. It's there in verse 6, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And then verse 7, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. So Jesus, this foundational, solid, sure foundation for us, is precious. He's loved and wonderful and great. We think he's special. Do you remember Peter's already used this word, hasn't he, back in chapter 1, verse 19? Verse 18, you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus is special, very, very special. So Jesus is your precious foundation. But notice in the passage, not everyone accepts that. So verse 7, now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. So quoting from Psalm 118 and Isaiah 8. Other Old Testament pictures of the stone. And Peter's pointing out that yes, people, not everyone accepts Jesus. And the problem with that is God's judgment. God will call us to account and will stumble and fall if we push Jesus away. But he's writing to people who have come to him, verse 4. So have you come to Jesus? Yeah? Then, so far we've seen in this letter, through Jesus' death, you're redeemed. That bit in 1 verse 19 I just read out. Redeemed. The price is paid for your sin and mine. By his resurrection, We've got living hope and inheritance kept for us in God's forever kingdom. That was back in chapter 1, verse 3 and onwards. And as the ascended king who's going to return, he lives, he reigns, he saves. He's this living stone, the foundation that is alive for us. Here's a reason for us to live holy lives. The one we trust in, the one who saved us, is so wonderful. We live for him. And maybe these days life is feeling not so solid, not so sure. You know, the winds we've just had over the last few days have shaken things, literally, haven't they? But life is like that. And we hear the news about Ukraine, and it's worrying, isn't it? What's going to happen? Very worrying for people living there and what might happen to them, but also for the whole of Europe. Maybe the ground is not feeling so sure. Perhaps inflation is hitting you madly, the price of gas and electricity, and you're wondering just whether you're going to eat or heat the house. Your relationships, work, health, shaky ground. And Peter reminds us that through all of this, we've got a precious foundation, a chosen and precious cornerstone, Jesus. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Verse 6. Jesus is our precious cornerstone. Hallelujah. And because of Jesus, well, what do you do? What do you do with a cornerstone? You don't just leave it there. You build on it, don't you? And because of Jesus, we are in God's royal family. God's royal family. God's royal house. In other words, Jesus has made us very different. When we turn to Jesus, yes, we're redeemed. We've talked about that. As if we've never sinned. Purified, he says in 1 verse 22. We've got a living hope, heaven. And there's even more, he says. You're in a new household, a family that is immensely special. Listen to the words he uses to describe it here. So verses 4 and 5 and then verses 9 and 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has made you and me very different as we put our trust in Jesus. A new household, a family that's immensely special. There's lots of detail here, isn't there? But just before we get into the detail, hear that and feel that crescendo of wonder and amazement. Have you ever been in Starbucks and you go to get a drink? You say, I'll have a cappuccino, please. And you hear the person next to you and they say, could I have a double ristretti venti organic chocolate brownie ice vanilla double shot gingerbread frappuccino extra hot with foam whipped cream upside down double blended, please? And you go, and that is how amazing, well, it's much more amazing about that, but that amazing feeling of, wow, that is what God has got for us here. Listen again. You also, verse 5, like living stones, like Jesus himself, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So what is going on in all these different little phrases he's using? Peter is using Old Testament language and images to speak that in the Old Testament speak of God's people, redeemed and rescued from slavery in Egypt into the freedom of God's promised land. And he's using all that picture language and he's saying that is about you, believers, Christians. Today it's about us, fulfilled in Jesus and brought to the new people of God. Now remember Jesus speaking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is what he said to them from Luke 24. "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That's what's written in Moses, the law, and the Psalms. That's what's written, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, in the Old Testament. And so Peter takes these things and says, yes, look, look, this is it for us today. What have we got? Well, something from Exodus, verse 9, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. These come from Exodus chapter 19. We looked at that, didn't we, not so long ago in a sermon series. The people have been rescued from Egypt and now they're God's people. They're a holy nation, a special possession. Chosen, set apart. In the Old Testament, they were all Jews. But we know from the New Testament that Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews, are included together. Anyone who trusts in Jesus now are these people. And then there's a bit from Isaiah, end of verse 9, "that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And Isaiah spoke of the return to Israel from Babylon, a new exodus, back to Israel from Babylon, from captivity to freedom, from darkness to light. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So Exodus, Isaiah, and then another Bible book in the Old Testament, Hosea, not quite so well known, but we've looked at Hosea in a sermon series. And you get those funny names of his children. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember, he gives names to his children. God tells him names. They're not very happy names. One of the names he has to give them is "Not My People." And the other one is "Not Received Mercy." Do you remember that? And Peter picks up on that in verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Direct quote, almost, from Hosea. So this gospel change from being not a people, no mercy, to being the people of God with mercy, all through Jesus. All through Jesus. So Peter takes these wonderful Old Testament things and says, look, it's you, believers. You're in God's royal family. He's done something very special to make you very different. And so there's something to do as a result of this for us. He says, verse 5, "You're built into a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then similar language in verse 9, "that why we are chosen people, a holy nation," everything, "that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We're to be a worshipping community. Spiritual sacrifices, declaring praises. But this worship is not just bulls and goats on an altar in a temple or singing songs in a building. It's our whole lives. So there's spiritual sacrifices and declare praises. So spiritual sacrifices, this phrase is used by Paul in Romans 12 to talk about our whole lives being worship. So that spreadsheet that the boss wants done by yesterday, as you do that, you can do that as worship to God. That chat you have with your neighbour on the stairs up to the flat, that chat can be worship to God if we do it in a way that is expressing our discipleship, our following Jesus, our faith in him. All of our lives, worship, offering spiritual sacrifices. And then declaring praises, verse 9, not just singing, but telling the world how great our Saviour Jesus is. I'll catch up with these slides. There we are, something to do. Whole life worship and telling the world. So it is incredible what God has done for us in Jesus. And it's motivation for us to be holy, to be different and live these Jesus-centered Lives that are being transformed by God, following his ways, not the ways of the world. He says, Jesus is your precious foundation. You're in God's royal family. So, really, the impetus of the whole thing is, let's be who we are. Be who you are. Remember Matthew Pinsent, who do you think you are? He realised and discovered he was a descendant of a king. Well, who are we? Well, we're in God's royal family with Jesus. It's amazing. We're royalty, more than Matthew Pinsent. And so you've got the call in verse 17 of chapter 1. Since you call on the Father, who judges these persons work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Live for Jesus. Next week we're going to see that the rest of the book goes on with all sorts of examples of how to do it in different situations. How do you deal with the authorities? What do you do at work? What about your family? What about when you're suffering? And we might say, well, it's hard. It's hard to be holy. How can I manage it? Well, we're in God's royal family. We've got a precious foundation with Jesus. We've got God's help. God has made us different. It's God who's going to help us through that. And we're not earning something. It's not that we've got to achieve a certain standard or God won't let us in, because he's already let us in. He's already let us in. And we're living out all that he's done for us. And Peter's encouraging us, really, maybe to think of three things as a result of this. To rejoice. His language is full of praise, isn't it? And that word precious. Let's rejoice in this new status we've got in Jesus. Let's be encouraged. We might feel that the world sees us as nothing. But to God, well, he set us on a precious foundation of Jesus. And he's building us, with our fellow believers, into a household of his own with Jesus. Let's be encouraged. And let's stop and think. How are we managing with the be holy instruction? How does our behaviour fall short? And where do we need to pray for God's help? Are we seeing our lives as offering spiritual sacrifices, living worship as living stones? How can we declare the praises of him who's brought us out of darkness and into his wonderful light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know if we've caught the sense of wonder that you've given us in these verses at Jesus himself, our precious foundation. And at our new status as members of your royal family with Jesus as our cornerstone. Father, give us that sense of rejoicing as we see what you've done, and turn that into holiness in our lives, that we'd live this out, serving you with living worship and declaring your praises. Speaking of the greatness and glory of all you've done. We pray that you'd help us to be those offering spiritual sacrifices in our normal lives, at work and with family. That you'd give us opportunities this week as we run up to the life event to declare your praises to our friends. And stir our hearts, Lord, to rejoice, even though the world around us and maybe the ground we feel we're normally standing on is very shaky. Thank you that it's solid in our precious cornerstone, Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen.